ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಮುನ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಥಾ ಮಾಧ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಥ ಮಾಧ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಾಲಾ ಗಿರಿ ಬರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಾಲಾ ಗಿರಿ ಬರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಥ ಮಾಧ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಥ ಮಾಧ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ
ಜಯ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶಿಷ್ಯ ಮಾಧಿ ಸೆವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಐಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಜಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾತ್ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶಿಷಿ ಮಾಧಿ ಸಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋತಿ ಬಾಯಿ ಶ್ರೀನವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಇಸ್ಕೋಂ ಫೌಂಡರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಶಿಮಂ ಭಾಗವತಂಕಿ ನಿತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೋ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೋ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೋ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶಿಶಿ ಗುರು ವಂಶಿ ಗೌರಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Withdraw of the Cosmic Creation, Chapter 23, The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets, Text 9 and 10. I read 9 by myself and we read 10 together.
Sri Bhagavan Ubacha Vatsa Prarada Bhadram De Te Prajahi Sutala Jajam Sutala Lajam Modamana Swapautrena Gyatinam Shukam Abaha
Translation. The Supreme Personality of God has said, My dear son, Prahlad, All good fortune unto you. For the time being, please go to the place known as Sutala, and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends. Would have been great that Nityananda Prana would give the class and say, "Oh, my dear son, Prahlad." Text number 10, we read together.
Nityandrasta simantra tatra gadapanin abhashtinam maddarshana mahalada dvashta karma nibandhanam Nityandrasta simantatra gadapanin abhashtitam maddarshana mahalada dvasta karma nibandhanah Nityandrasta simantatra Gadapanin abhashtitam Maddarshana mahalada Dvashta karma nibandhana
Please chant.
Nityandrasta simantatra gadapanin avashtitam maddarshana mahalabda dvasta karma nibandhana nityam
constantly drasta the seer asi You shall be man unto me, tatra, there, in Sutala Loka, gadapanin, with a club in my hand, abhashtitam, situated there, mat darshana, by seeing me in that form, Maha-alada. By great transcendental bliss, Dvasta, having been vanquished, Karmanimbandana, the bondage of fruitive activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, assured Prahlad Maharaj, you should be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in my hand. Because of your transcendental bliss, due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. Purport. Karma bandha, the bondage of fruitive activities, entails the repetition of birth and death. One performs fruitive activities in such a way that he creates another body for his next life. As long as one is attached to fruitive activities, he must accept another material body. This repeated acceptance of material bodies is called samsara bandhana. To stop this, a devotee is advised to see the Supreme Lord constantly. The Kanishta Adhikari, or neophyte devotee, is therefore advised to visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. Thus, the neophyte devotee can be free from the bondage of fruitive activities. Nityandrastasimantatra gadapanin abhashtitam Maddarshana Mahalada Dvashta Karma Nibandana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Prahlad Maharaj, you should be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in my hand. Because of your transcendental bliss, due to always seeing me, personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishnapachaya Shrimate Ramapada Swamin Iti Namine Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyade Shatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we continue extracting beautiful jewels from these verses and purports that are very relevant and important for our progress in Krishna consciousness. We hear in the past few days about sincerity. We hear about gratitude. We hear about humility yesterday. And today we're hearing about being free from this fruitive mentality, the bondage of fruitive mentality, and which is such an ingrained feature of being conditioned in the material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that where is this feature of fruitive mentality comes? That is almost like it's the consequence of, well, Krishna explains, it's the consequence of false ego. He says, Prakriti, Kriyamanani, Gunai karmani sarvasaha. Ahankara bimudatma. The ahankara bimudatma means that we become bewildered by this false ego, the living entity. When it comes, when we come to the material world, And the first thing that that manifests as we come into material world is this ahamkara, this false ego. And when we become completely bewildered, ahamkara vimudhatma. And what is the consequence of that bewilderment? Kartahan iti manyate. That I'm thinking, I'm the doer, I'm the controller. That these things, that the actions, the activities that I will do, they come from me. I am the doer. I am the controller. And we have to understand the nature of this. It goes at the bottom of everything. All these layers that we may have that we struggle to get, you know, peeled out. Well, very deep there is the sense of I am the doer. I am the doer. And this concept that I am the doer is basically resting in this desire to be independent from Krishna. That's what brings us to the material world. And so we have this a very strong, stubborn obstacle that we have to overcome. The obstacle in our material, in our Krishna consciousness, this doership mentality. So, Prabhupada explains that to have a body is already the consequence. It's actually because we're forced and conditioned. Just to go back and understand the nature of this karma bandhana. Bandhana means, you know, we're punished, or we're like constricted. We're like incarcerated. You know, when you take a criminal and put it, you know, in a confined situation, in a jail, there's certain freedom for the criminal to move in certain space. So, you know, you have a very limited, constricted circumstance and situation. You're placed in that. So that's bandhana. So this, to understand this karma bandhana, is important. And Krishna, Arjuna actually asked that question to Krishna in chapter 8. He asked 5 questions, and among them was one that is, what is this fruitive actions? Yeah, what is karma? And Krishna answers that actions pertaining the development of a material body is called karma. So we force to accept a material body. So the material body in itself is our punishment. So it's already comes with all these things, conditions, things that force us to think, feel, and act in a certain way. And the bewildering part, the actual fact is that we force is done by the most material nature. It's already dictated, it's already wired and control by material nature. But the sad thing is that we think that we're doing it. We're convinced that we're doing it. And it's because Maya, material energy, has these two potencies, Prabhupada explained. Prashet Patmika Shakti and Amaranatmika Shakti. One is the Prashatpatmika Shakti is a covering energy. No, I'm sorry. Amaradatmika Shakti is a covering energy, meaning that we're covered by this ignorance. And we come to think, yeah, I'm doing. Yeah, I'm fine. This is life. I have no problem. Sometimes we have, encounters with, and sometimes it happened to us, sometimes we observe it, and we say, Prabhu, or my friend, you have some problem. Then what? I have no problem. I have no problem. I'm quite fine. The good example of the amazing potency of Maya to actually covers completely the capacity of the living entity to understand the miserable condition and the constricted condition in what one is oneself, is that pastime of Lord Indra becoming a pig. And when the punishment was all done, Lord Brahma comes to get him back. Okay, let's go back to the heavenly kingdom and you take again your position in India. He goes, what? No way! I'm happy here. I have really good food, a pilot stool, and I have fantastic space to live. It's very comfortable, very smelly, and very muddy and dirty. And I have all my family here. I have several female pigs, that I, etc., etc. You get the idea. I'm happy. I'm really happy. I don't want to live this life. From the perspective of Lord Brahma, it's like, come, it's miserable. I mean, eating stool and rolling in dirty mud, that's a very abominable condition of life. But one thing, I'm fine. I'm quite happy. That is that covering potency. Then the other potency is called the throwing potency. Prabhupada translated like that. Throwing potency. So it's the covering potency and the throwing potency. Material nature. The throwing potency applies when somehow or other this living entity comes to realize, no, this is miserable. I have to find, what is reality. So the living entity start to look, to search for some alternative. And then somehow or other, by great fortune, Prabhupada explains it like that in a conversation. He comes to Krishna consciousness. And then Maya goes and say, what? You crazy? Don't do that. So many rules and regulations. So many things. You have to do this, you have to do that. No fun. Austerities. And all these things that you cannot do, all these things. So don't go there. Just give up there. Throwing potency. Prabhupada say Maya is dragging us. Doesn't allow us to, move forward. Is constantly throwing things at us to actually derail us. So my Guru Maharaj gave once a class that he entitled The Thorny Path of Fruitive Action. The Thorny Path of Fruitive Action. Meaning that to deal with this fruitive mentality in coming to devotional service is rough. And it just doesn't go away so easy. And when you think that I'm getting it together. Then there's more and more and more and more. Maya is there constantly. Constantly. We remember the Lila of Srila Prabhupada saying to the devotees that I can never fall down. And then the devotees, Jai Srila Prabhupada, you know, wonderful, appreciating Srila Prabhupada's, you know, like bold statement, I can never fall down, you know. And then, yes, we have faith on that. And the next day, Prabhupada is with his secretary, and during greetings of the deities, Prabhupada pays obeisances and then stand in front of the deities, and the devotee hear Prabhupada saying a prayer. And the devotee asks Prabhupada, what were you praying to the deities? And Prabhupada say that I'm praying for them to protect me so I won't fall down. And then the devotee say, Prabhupada, but you said that you never fall down. And then Prabhupada say, this is why. This is why I can never fall down. So, meaning that throughout, Maya is there. Maya is there and can derail us. We see the example of Bharat Maharaj, who was in the stage of Bhava. Bhava is one step behind Prema Bhakti, and he was derailed temporarily from his path back home, back to Godhead. So my Guru Maharaj says that the thorny path of getting rid of this fruitive mentality. So he's claiming that there are two facets of this fruitive mentality. One is that we have a motivation. The fruits or the results motivate us to act. And that is sort of, we're wired for that. I won't do anything unless I have a result in mind. That's what motivates action. And the other facet is that we fully embrace this conception that I am the doer, that the cause of this result is my doing. So these two things are there. And obviously we know that in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we all have motivations. Prabhupada, Krishna says that, Chatudbidhi Bhajante Man Jnana Sukriti Narjuna, that there are four classes of men who come to Krishna consciousness, and we all have, all of them has motivations. You know, there's Artha, Jigyasa, Artha, Ti, Jnanavan, Bharata, Shraddha. That there is looking for some relief, financial relief, or some solution from one's circumstances, you know, wealth circumstances. There's a look relief from just misery condition. There's others that are inquisitive, curious. They want to find out questions. And there is those who are looking for liberation to understand the absolute truth. And they all have a particular motivation. Even the jnani who looks for the absolute truth is looking for liberation, for freedom from this material world. So that's also is a very elevated motivation, but a motivation nevertheless. So motivations are there that are propelling, you know, our acting in devotional service. So these things are ingrained, and the thing that Or the consequence or the thing that we can understand in these beginning stages of Krishna consciousness that we have to deal so strongly with this doership mentality is how we react when we obtain the things that we want, when those things that we desire or the things that the results that we want, when we obtain it and when we don't obtain it. And so when we obtain results, in general, what happens when we, you know, have this result mentality, then we start to become, in general, happens, complacent. We start to take it for granted, and then what happens is that the initial motivation that propels us to act, you know, in devotional service, then start to get loosened. And my Guru Maharaj gives the example that when he has in his experience of guiding devotees, he observes this. And actually, it's something that we constantly see, something that we experience ourselves. At the beginning, there is this take-off moment that once goes like so enthusiastic. It's first discovered. You see, when most devotees, we come to Krishna consciousness, it's all like, wow, 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 wow. It's all like, you know, enthusiasm, you know, like we feel very enthused and we take off, you know. But then something happens along the way and then we start the descent. You know, we start to feel less motivated. We start to feel, more mental about it. Things come and then this enthusiasm start to wane down. So in general, that's one of the symptoms of Kanishta Adhikari. We spoke about the other day, you know, that there is upside downs, you know. You go to peaks, to valleys, like that. The other is when you don't obtain, or when we don't obtain the result that we, you know, after. And then in general, what happens is that we become frustrated. We become frustrated, and then we start to find, we start to look for why this is not happening, and with frustration, in general, we find an external cause for not obtaining, you know, our result. In general, happens, you know, we see with, you know, oh, the temple president or the temple, you know, the authorities, that you hear that so much, you know. I mean, now that I have been put in some position of administration, then I hear it from this side. I used to hear it from the side of like, the temple president, the this and this, you know, like that. So I'm upset because that person who is supposed to facilitate my, you know, the results that I'm looking for is blocking that. So, you know. So these things are, this is what we have to deal with constantly in the progress that we have of devotional service. So then the question is that what to do? The recommendation that my His Holiness Rama Swami gives is hit a reset button. You know, when we hit those, when we find ourselves in a position that, you know, we're going, you know, our enthusiasm or we're facing that, because one thing that Krishna does is he poses our fruitive mentality by showing, you know, very graphically at times that, you know, we're not in control. Something is, you know, the things are not, we can't maintain. I was saying, you know, every time I say, oh, things have started to become, you know, settle and control, bang, something happens and everything goes to, you know, disarray. And then you go like, oh, no, you have to start again. So there's not a moment that you can say, I have control on the situation. Krishna constantly is pulling, you know, things out, you know, the place. And then we have to be constantly adjusting to what? You know, basically we have to constantly be putting this reset button. It's like, you know, when I work with sound equipment, you know, that happens at times when the amplifier is overdriven, then something pops. And then you have to put a reset button and thing goes back to normal. So we have to constantly be doing that. And that's a recommendation that my Guru Maharaj gave, that what is this reset button? We have to go back to the original thing that brought us. Why did I came to Krishna consciousness? What brought me to Krishna consciousness? And then he also says that part of that reset button is that we have to recalibrate the purpose, the motivations and the purposes that we have. At one point, we have to recalibrate. So that's a very important factor, because we have to review the motivations that I have. And then the recalibration is that we're doing this, we're doing what we do, devotional services, for what? It's for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. And that's the actual reality. And so to serve Guru and Krishna, to please Guru and Krishna. And then when we replace that motivation for the motivation of just obtaining a result, just doing things in devotional service with this fruitive mentality, then, you know, that's the real thing. That's Krishna consciousness. But then the thorny part also is that then what happens when you do things nicely with the proper consciousness for the pleasure of Krishna? Then some success comes by Krishna's grace. And then with success, what happens? Recognition by other devotees. Then people start to, you know, pat you in the back, recognizing you or giving you respect. And then feels, you know, I mean, we may not be very gross, sometimes we may be gross, but nevertheless there's some sense of enjoying that. In the new five condition is just so awful. It's so awkward. This Taranga Rangini. One's surfing on the waves of the results of devotional service. So you like, woohoo, you know, shh, look at me, you know, like that. Taranga Rangini. So it's not easy. It's very stubborn. And it's, so we constantly, so the message is that we have to constantly be watchful about this fruitive, you know, controller mentality. That it becomes a tremendous obstacle for us to advance in Krishna consciousness. And we have to constantly be recalibrating and hitting the reset button. The reset button is that we came to Krishna because we want to be Krishna consciousness. We want to learn. We want to become devotees. We're pursuing that. So, and have full faith in Krishna and the process. Lord Bhamanadev is telling Prahlad Maharaj, see the deities, that the relationship that we have with the deities, that in itself, in a daily basis, will eliminate the bondage, the karma bandhana. And Sutta Goswami has one also very similar statement, but from the perspective of hearing and chanting. He says in the second chapter, the Divinity and Divine Service, he says, with a sword in hand, intelligent men could cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? So, the karma bandhana is like a knot, and with a sharp knife, chup, you caught it. And what is this? What is this sharp knife? Is the messages of the Lord, transcendental knowledge. So, we must pay attention to it, and use it. You know, learn it. Again, how do we learn transcendental knowledge? Well, transcendental knowledge is learned in this modus pariprasnena sevaya. They have to be submissive to the teachings of the spiritual master. You have to be inquiries required and services required. These things are there. So, you know, you hear that many times. I stop here. Any comments or questions? Yes, Sarvabhauma Prabhu.
Acharya Nishta Prabhu was reading to us from the previous verse, and he was pointing out that the Supreme Lord Krishna is impartial to everyone. He's equally disposed to everyone, and yet somehow or another he favors his devotee. And yet today you're reading to us that we have to be really careful about expectation of some kind of fruitive result. So it sounds to me like there's a contradiction. How can I protect myself from my natural tendency to want to be favored by Krishna so that things will go nicely for me and I'll be happy?
Thank you, Prabhu. I think that is Krishna's favor. He wants to allow us, he does it in such a way that we become exposed to the faulty mentality, the crazy mentality that we have of thinking that we're the doer. In fact, no. So he allows us by ordeal. He allows us to acknowledge it and to become conscious about it. So, you know, this cover impotency, Krishna takes it away and let us, you know, actually witness it. So we can actually have faith and apply the process that he's given us. So sometimes I tell the devotees here in the ashram that sometimes, you know, we find there's ordeals that we have to go through. There's conflict sometimes in the ashram. And I say to them, which is my understanding, in my level, that it's exactly what is wanted. That's exactly, it's by design that it's like that. That's what the ashram is about. It's like, you know, when you put something in a, you're cooking something, and there is, you know, there's something happening with its cooking. So it's by design, it's supposed to happen. So we become aware, you become purified. We force to become purified, to take the purification. So that's Krishna's favor. It's very kind. And the more sincere we are, you know, we saw in the pastimes of Bali Maharaj, the tribulations that he have to go through. And then one thinks, you know, wow, I don't know if this Krishna is, you know, is really liking me or not, you know, putting me through all this. But it really depends, you know, on how severe our condition is. And then, you know, sometimes there's definitely is going to be a period that is uncomfortable. Because it's not because Krishna is unkind, it's because we are so conditioned. So Krishna is helping us, he's healing us. Healing is sometimes an uncomfortable position. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti said that when 75% of that healing is gone, then that's when the nectar begins. Right now is nectar, misery, nectar, misery, nectar, misery. We are going in this roller coaster of nectar misery. But when we get to that position that there's a lot of healing that has taken place, then the nectar becomes fixed. Then we start experiencing very consistently. So it's Krishna's mercy is there. And if we don't see that there is some like this, you know, conflict and thing, then we should be worried that maybe Krishna is not favoring me. You know, something is wrong, something is not working. Is that right? Thank you, Prabhu. Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class, Prabhu. Please forgive me. I didn't have opportunity to organize my thoughts. Krishna didn't give me that ability, so I'll try my best. You gave a wonderful class, and you were mentioning, my point mainly goes to when you were mentioning that Prabhupada said the reason, you know, devotees don't fall down or I don't fall down is because they pray for it. Please protect me. And my direction is kind of going to that is because first in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that in order to become free from samsara, one has to see the Lord everywhere and constantly pray for that. And I mean, I think we've all had to experience, all the devotees who have given class before, that even when if they're giving class and they see audience in a Bhagavatam class, even when there are people in a Bhagavatam class, that does not mean that anyone's in a Bhagavatam class, because we can see their mind is completely gone. So when we come to the temple, it says that we should see the Lord, but we could see that there's so many difficulties in this world, you know, with the most material nature of threefold miseries. Any, like you were mentioning, anything could derail us and take our mind out. So even when we're in Bhagavatam or seeing the Lord, that does not, like Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, we should not think of the Supreme Lord as an object of our vision. Instead, we should meditate on how we could acquire some qualification to become worthy objects of his vision. So my question is related to that is that as far as developing the qualification to see the Lord, the tendency is that as far as praying, I'm connecting with that point of praying the Lord's mercy, when there's some circumstances that are out of control, we pray, let's say like a devotee, or if there's some discrepancy, I pray, we don't have a problem under Maya's influence praying for their fall down. But at the same time, we think, you know, praying for the fall down bring us happiness. Ah, yes, you know, I'm happy. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he says, the misery of others is a great source of pleasure for me in Amar Jivan. But a lot of times we don't pray like, Krishna, please pray. I pray for good qualities that could be the, everyone's well wishes and not have everything go my way. So how do we reprogram our brain, you know, to into thinking that, you know, just praying for people's downfall, praying that be the control in every circumstance that bring me happiness, that should bring us even more misery. Because Krishna won't, things are beyond our control. We can see this. How do we develop the courage or reprogram brain to actually pray for people's well-being? And because that's very difficult to do. It's like, I feel like terrible when I pray for someone's well-being. It's like, I don't want to do that. So how do you reprogram your brain?
I think to make it not superficial, you know, because we can go through all the you know, the execution of devotional service, but in a very superficial way. You know, it's still, it's commendable, but we have to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And we have to understand that. It's what we come to Krishna consciousness. You know, we want to advance and go deeper and deeper. For going deeper, it requires constant introspection. So we have to be very observant of ourselves, and that's why tribulations is so good, because it forces us to see, you know, what's my part, what am I doing, why am I feel like this, why am I suffering, you know, all these questions are there. And then the reset button, you know, what is my motivation? What is Krishna trying to teach me on these situations? You know, and in fact, we can see it like that through whatever, you know, what is Krishna trying to teach me? You know, sometimes by allowing me to receive this result, sometimes by frustrating, you know, our pursuing of this particular result, you know, what is it trying to teach me? So I think we have to be constantly very introspective. The problem is that is when we don't want to be introspective because of that covering potency that, you know, that I'm fine. I have nothing to be introspective. I got it together. I know what I'm doing. You know, so you know, I figured it out. I'm in Bhagavatam class, and instead of listening to Bhagavatam class, like you said, you know, I'm doing my own thing. I mean, you know, like that. So, these are things that we have to constantly be observing in ourselves. Otherwise, it remains shallow. But then the problem is that there's no such a thing, I'll end with this, there's no such a thing of hovering, right? We hear that. In devotional service, there's no hovering. You know, it's either you moving upwards or moving downwards. So we have to keep moving upwards. Even if it's slow, my Guru Maharaj once told me, you know, I once complained, you know, my progress is so slow. And he said, it's better just to be, you know, a steady, slow turtle. Like, you know, the turtle will reach. It will take it, you know, much long time. But it's better that you go, like, try to go, you know, slow but consistently upward. We have to be. We have to go deeper. We have to go deeper. I'd like to stop here. Madhava Guranga, you have a question? Say 31. Okay, quickly. You can ask that after. Huh? Krishna Archana said that you should ask the question. I obey the boss.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. I
was just thinking about the doership mentality, and I don't really understand it so well, because so my understanding is that, because you were saying at the bottom of our conditioning is thinking that I'm the doer, trying to act independently from Krishna, or wanting to be independent from Krishna. So, like, Ramapada Swami always says, say it in reverse, or say it negatively. So, so my understanding is, so if I'm not the doer, and I'm thinking that I am the doer, I'm an illusion, because I'm thinking I'm doing all these activities, but me, the soul, I'm really not doing anything. I guess I'm just aloof, completely not doing anything. It's inside, but my consciousness is so invested into the body, into the activities of the body, that I can't get free from thinking that I'm doing something that I'm not. But at the same time, like, on a practical level, I think I'm doing everything. Like, I'm washing the pots. Like, yeah, duh, I'm scrubbing the pots. Like, what else am I doing? What is it going to take? What does it take for me to actually understand that I'm not doing things? Is it just a matter of thinking that, okay, actually I'm not doing anything, it's Krishna or it's the material modes of nature? And then how do I know what is modes of nature and what is, how do I know when I'm being controlled by the spiritual energy, and how do I know when I'm being controlled by the material energy?
Well, one sense is the choices that we made and the motivation, again, going back to that. So, when we're doing, say, the simple activity of washing pots, you know, and if I, in the doership mentality, then I start to calculate, maybe that result is better, maybe this result is not so good, that type of thing. When I'm in the mentality of pleasing Guru and Krishna, serving Krishna, then it's very enlivening. It's as good as distributing books, it's as good as studying the Bhagavatam, it's as good as worshipping the deities in the altar. There's no difference. How do I know, is when I feel enlivened about it. If I feel like I'm dragging, you know, something that I have to, oh my God, you know, type of thing, then that means I'm in the doership mentality, you know. And it translates like that. That's why, you know, life in the ashram is so designed, you know, by Krishna, just to purify us and to elevate our consciousness. We just have to embrace it, you know. As long as I keep fighting it, you know, I have to deal with the miseries that causes, you know, my fruitive mentality. It's all about result. I desire this. I want to X. And then, you know, I'm finished. Miserable. You know, goes in between enjoying and suffering. The dualities of hankering and lamenting. It's just the way this material world is designed. All right? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, garantara shimam bhagavatam ki jai.